San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
We are coming. Hi, my name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from Belmont Park, not KFMB, with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And now time to introduce, oh, by the way, you can get us, we're on an app on 760 KFMB, if you search that. Also, iTunes, if you search It's Your Money and Your Life, you can get us there in the free podcast. And at iymoney.com. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He is an established philanthropist. He's a best-selling author. And he is a family office advisor advising several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you on this beautiful night?
I am marvelous. I can see the sun setting there from the Wave House Terrace upstairs here at Belmont Park. It's incredible.
My God, what a marvelous job. What a renaissance they have created here at this venue.
It's incredible, isn't it? We'll talk about some of that in the second half of the show. But
we
just
will.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, what about the tennis today?
I'm depressed, man. I'm a big Roger. I'm a Roger Federer fan, Joe.
I'm a Federer and a Djokovic fan, and my gosh, if you had told me last week that Roger would lose in straight sets and Djokovic would lose in four, I would have thought you were absolutely out of your mind. But their opponents played out of their mind today, and look at those other guys.
Deserve it's good somebody else gets in the finals.
You
know, after about 10 years of the same four guys.
How hot it was down on that court today.
It was about 120 down on the court.
91 air temp, and the humidity had to be, you know, probably up there because a big rainstorm.
Yeah, storm was brutal conditions.
But
Roger looked all of his 33 years old.
And then
it's old for a tennis player.
But anyway, it was exciting tennis. But the good news is we have an American in the women's final tomorrow, Serena. And
she's going to win.
She's that's what we said about Djokovic and Federer.
I know.
You can't overlook anybody in tennis today. I think, you know, on any given day, some of these players can. Well, I mean, this is unbelievable. I don't think it's ever happened. I've never seen this happen in the U.S. Open.
No, a 10 seed and a 14 seed.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, we want to plug somebody again, LaCostaFilmFestival.org. The La Costa Film Festival is September 18th to 21st.
And why are we doing that?
Well, it's just a lot of fun, but our buddy James Erskine, who's been a guest on the show a couple of times, has a piece called The Accidental Death of a Cyclist about the famous
Pantani.
Italian bike racer Marco Pantani, Il Pirata.
It was kind of like a Dennis Rodman type figure, real rock and roll.
So that's showing on Friday, September 19th at 1 o'clock over at the Dove Street Library Theater, which is just north of La Costa, right off of El Camino Real and Dove Street, over by the big shopping center where the Cineopolis is,
how many venues are going to be screening?
They're using three. They're using Cineopolis over there, they're using the Dove Street Library, and then they're showing some over at, of course, La Costa itself.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
But 1 o'clock on Friday, check out LaCostaFilmFestival.org. Love to see you out there. We're going to be out there hanging out.
That's Cineopolis, you know, that's Mexican-owned, which kind of relates to what we're going to get into tonight.
It does.
Because we're talking about helping our friends south of the border tonight. We also have Corazon de Vida, and from that organization we have...
Amar Haray.
Amar Haray.
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
All right.
Amar, what is your exact title over there?
I'm the managing director of the San Diego chapter.
And how many chapters do you have?
We have three chapters. The core is up in Irvine. And then we have the LA chapter and the San Diego chapter.
Started by a woman, right? Back in the started by a woman, Hilda. You want to tell her story a little bit?
Hilda is the most amazing woman. She started Corazon de Vida 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the reason why she started it is she was herself she's an orphan. And grew up in an orphanage down in Baja, and went back to that orphanage after building a whole life for herself. She was able to make it to the United States and have a whole career and have a happy life. And she went back to visit the orphanage and found that the home was way worse than when she left it. She couldn't even recognize the home compared to where, you know, the memory that she had of the place she grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And so she started fundraising and putting things together for that one home. Well, 20 years later, now Corazon de Vida supports 15 homes.
Mm.
That's 800 kids, and provides pretty much shelter and
but
food
this
on
is
the
interesting.
Table.
When people hear the word orphanages, they usually think of kids who have no parents. I know in Mexico, there's no welfare system, there's no social security system, so to speak. There's no support like we have in this country. So that, in many cases, the kids who wind up in orphanages, they might just be the child of a single parent, correct?
That's totally correct, yes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the foster care system does not exist in Mexico. Mm-hmm. The government provides no help whatsoever to any of those homes. So all those homes are privately run and funded, basically.
Mm-hmm. And most of them are near the border because a lot of Americans help, right?
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, the Tijuana, unfortunately, is a place that brings people from all of South America to try to make it across the border. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it's a transient population. And with that comes a lot of poverty. Mm-hmm. And because of that, there's a huge, huge problem with child homelessness there. And so the problem with that is, unfortunately, since the government down there doesn't help, those kids only have one choice, is be on the street or, you know, be in a home like this that is supported by a charity. A lot of good people and different charities are doing the same thing Corazon de Vida is doing. Corazon de Vida, to me, has been maybe the most successful one at doing that.
Uh-huh. And so briefly, what's your background and how did you get interested in this cause? I mean, just brief background and why this would be of interest to you.
Yeah. I'm originally from France. I came to the United States 15 years ago, and I kind of living the American dream. I built myself my own career, have my own businesses, at some point in time, I realized that what really matters at the end of the day is how much impact you have in your life. And in a lot of ways, it can be your neighbor, it can be your friends, it can be your family, or it can be a cause or a charity that that's worth helping or fighting for. And there's nothing more important to me than kids, in the sense that they're the future. Mm-hmm. They're the future of our society. They will define how our own children will live. Mm-hmm. And so the amazing part about Tijuana and Baja California is it's literally right across the border. So it's easy to see the impact where your money is going, what you're doing, compared to going all the way to Africa, for instance. And that's main reason why I started with Tijuana. Hopefully, we will grow and do much bigger things. But there's already a lot of work to be done just right across the border.
So you give us your history. You grew up in France, then, or
yeah. So both my parents are from Algeria.
Sure.
They took a boat in the 70s.
Albert Camus, the stranger, Algeria.
Well, Algeria is in Africa, isn't it?
That is correct. Yeah, Northern Africa. Yeah. So they took a boat for a better life and went to the south of France. So I was born and grew up in the south of France. Mm-hmm. Both my parents, very hard workers, construction worker. My father was a construction worker. Uh-huh. My mom was a restaurant worker. And and so now, actually, it's interesting because thanks to scholarships and so forth, I made it to the U.S. I went to USD for school. And
hey, my alma mater. Nice job there, pal.
And the funny part is now I own restaurants and I have a real estate company.
Really? So it's, what restaurants? Let's plug them. What the heck? Shameless plug. Which restaurant?
It's called Matisse Bistro. We're we're in downtown San Diego.
Downtown San Diego. Matisse.
Like the painter.
Okay. Right? Yeah. There we go. You got some artwork hanging up down there?
Exactly right.
Very good. Where's it located?
Broadway in India.
Broadway in India.
Yes. 600 West Broadway, exactly.
Okay.
I've been there. It's quite good. I didn't know you were the owner.
Oh, thank you.
Cool stuff.
On the cusp of Little Italy there.
It is, exactly.
Outstanding.
So you guys mentioned you have 3 chapters. Do you plan to grow more chapters or just make the chapters you have bigger? What's the game plan?
Right now, we started the San Diego chapter beginning of the year, so we're putting things in place where every month we have different events that we're promoting and putting together, and we're growing the team of people. We're welcoming anyone that wants to do anything. We have companies that are jumping on board and donating their employees' time. We have individuals donating different things from toys to money and, of course, supplies.
What's your website, so our listeners know?
It's www.corazondevida.org.
Yeah. CorazonDevida.org.
Yes.
Got it.
By the way, we're not taking any breaks till the end of the show, Richard, so we're just going to keep on going. I'll go grab Brad at the appropriate time because of that technical glitch. So
that's cool.
Just putting out there. Folks, if you're wondering what all this background noise might be, we are at Belmont Park above in this new Coaster Terrace, this excellent new corporate space here, or special event space.
And we've got a big charity fundraiser going on, Corazon de Vida being one of the causes, Maya Relief Foundation.
And Pequeño, can you help me say that one?
Pequeño Eden.
Pequeño Eden, is that right?
Did he say
that?
That's correct. Okay.
Like Little Eden.
Like Little Eden, correct.
Right. Yeah, but, it's a neat name.
So there's 50 of these orphanages down there. I mean, it's
15.
15?
15,
yes. And it's amazing because every orphanage on average has around 50 kids, and you have to see the organization of each orphanage those kids to school.
That, 15 that you work with, though, right?
That is correct. Yes.
But I mean, there's a lot more. Yeah, that's what my point was. There are a lot more.
It's about 800 kids.
Yeah. But so school, I mean, you must be changing lives. And Hilda came across and the border here, right? I mean, she eventually came to the States and worked, right? And
yeah.
So.
So the amazing thing with Corazon de Vida is that now we're pushing really strongly on the educational component. We have around 20 kids that are in university that came out of this orphanage system. And we're sponsoring them to go through university down in Mexico. You know, we have kids that are studying engineering. We have kids that are studying film producing. We have kids.
Really?
And what we're trying to do is match donors here in the U.S. or mentors to get them, you know.
Okay, so we have to tell you about Reality Changers. Are you familiar with them? Because they help First Gen Richard. You're going to have
We'll make an introduction. You need to know Christopher Yanoff with Reality Changers.
UCSD.
In City Heights. Also, he's UCSD.
He graduate.
But local boy, just a great cause.
Started this organization. They help first generation from immigrant families get their first generation into colleges, and they're doing spectacular.
Make sure you shoot me an email, and I'm going to introduce you guys.
I would love to.
We had him on the show, and we could probably even send you that podcast if you want to hear more. But he's got Arnie, who's the Secretary of Education?
Tall guy, the basketball player.
Arnie Duncan. I think he's been there and been involved. His picture's on the website with Chris Ho. He's reached out to some pretty big people.
He has. Omar, you guys are doing great work. Yeah. I think we have to get Brett Miller on the show.
Yes. I'm going to go get Brett over here.
I was just going to say, that's one of the things I love is by getting involved with Corazon de Vida, I'm connecting with so many amazing people that are doing amazing work, including the Maya Relief Foundation, including the people from Pequeño.
Well, I think charities are becoming much more collaborative. In the old day, I'm a lot older than you. Charities were very competitive with one another, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. They ought to be sharing resources and knowledge.
I totally agree.
And that's exactly what's going on here tonight. We're not just benefiting one great cause. We've got many, many things going on, all of which are just amazing.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Thank you for your time.
I really, really appreciate it. So we've got Brett Miller coming on. We are sitting here at the Wave House Terrace upstairs at Belmont Park. Some amazing construction has gone on.
Look, I've known this guy. We just had another phenomenal entrepreneur in Scott Slater a few weeks ago, but this gentleman in the 90s came to San Diego by storm as a youngster, and I first knew him when he took over the space at 832 Garnett, but he also had the dog first. We'll get into the whole history, but the dog, Moon Doggies, and now he's in the hotels and other big and golf courses and all kinds of things, but... Ladies and gentlemen, the pride of Pacific Beach, Brett Miller, everybody. So welcome, Brett. So good to see you.
Hey, Brett, I apologize. I got to thank sponsors for 1 minute.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be real quick. UBS, Michael Carantra and Drew Freitas. Best business bank in town, Regents Bank, Steve Sefton and Sean Puckett. My favorite CPAs on the planet, Plato Epic CPAs up in Vista. Jason Kruger, who's going to be coming up as a guest here soon with Signature Analytics, great CFO company. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow, including right here at Belmont Park. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, business valuation firm, actually in the entire United States. This is one of our great national sponsors. And last but not least, our guest next week, Brenda Geiger with the law offices of Brenda Geiger. And now back to Brett Miller.
All right, Brett.
Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. So good to see you. Man, what a renaissance here. I can't believe this great corporate space. This is going to be the first of many great parties, don't you think, in this room?
Without a doubt. This room has turned out, when we do a rendering and we look at it and we're like, wow, that looks great. They always make it look a little better than it should.
Uh-huh.
This turned out better.
It is
in
great.
Person. It's amazing.
Did you guys do a load test on the roof here with all the cousins?
We're good for 500. We're at 350 right now,
good.
So I think we're good.
How much money do you pay for those sunsets every night? Incredible, man. Isn't it this view from that deck? Unbelievable.
That's what makes it so easy is that, hey, we can't compete with that. No design can ever beat a great sunset.
But, Brett, we got you all the way to the end of the show here, so we got to get into your history. I don't think enough people know where you came from and how you got all your skills and expertise and vision and drive and everything else. So you're from the Pacific Northwest or something?
Well, I grew up in California, but Central California, Visalia.
Okay.
More cows than people there. I came down here my freshman year in college, came down to visit some friends at San Diego State, and I walked on the San Diego State campus, and I saw the commons, and I saw the whole thing, and I was like, okay, I called my parents right there. I said, I'm not coming back.
I've been to Visalia. I'm not going to say anything negative, but San Diego's just a tad nicer. Yeah.
I did the same thing. I'm not coming. I came up for a two-week vacation and never went.
He never went home. We can't get rid of him.
Absolutely.
So you transferred to school in school down here?
So, yeah, I went to Mesa College for a year, transferred to San Diego State, and, my senior year at San Diego State, I started selling real estate. And
what was your major?
My major is economics.
Okay.
Yeah, I really did not want to take the quant, so I had to go around the quant, so I went economics.
Okay.
But a more rounded education, I have to say. But I started selling real estate, and I was doing it for about 4 months. I was 20, 21, 22. And I remember showing a condo in Mission Valley to a guy about 15 years older than me, and he's looking at me, and he's like, why are you my realtor? Yeah. I'm just like, well, because I answered the phone. And, so I'm trying to sell a guy a $500,000 condo, and it was hard.
Yeah.
So I went in, and I got a phone call from a woman that owned a little beach bar, and she knew who I was, and we talked, and she goes, I want to sell it. And I was going to list it for her, and I went down, took a look at it, and I said, you know what? I can do this. I can sell a 12-ounce beer a lot easier than a $500,000 condo.
Exactly.
I just got to sell a whole lot more of them. And so we took a friend of mine, Dean Marchant, he and I, we took this place over, and,
It was the dog, right?
The original Moondoggies.
Yeah.
And it went through the roof. And
but that was on by Trader Joe's there around the corner on Garnett, and is it
Everett Street.
Everett, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Still there. Do you still own it?
I still do. I really do.
That's your baby.
Yeah.
I
go there about once a year and have a good time. But it really, it's hospitality.
Yeah.
And we learned really, really early is that anybody can go and buy a 12-ounce Budweiser. Okay? And Budweiser happens to be my favorite beer. Uh-huh. But,
They're buying the experience,
that's right?
That's right.
Yeah. You can go to my place, the next place, and as long as you treat everyone that comes to that door as someone that you want to know and see again, they'll come back and see you. And that was the first step in hospitality. And, from there we went to our next restaurant, and we did La Jolla. And that was a struggle.
Yeah.
It took us 3 years to make a profit there. And I was borrowing from anybody that would give me a little bit of money to keep that place afloat.
Yeah.
And then when it finally took off, someone noticed me, and I took over the improv, the big Moondoggies.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I shouldn't do this. This is just a hard, hard, hard business. But that one was a rocket.
Yeah.
And when that one took off, it really propelled us, and it gave us – we started to think, you know what? We are good at this. We know what we're doing, and we can do it again, and we can replicate it.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, my goal was like, I'm going to open 25 Moondoggies. And, but that hospitality bug kicked in, and I started looking at more and more Moondoggies, but then I realized that there was more to it.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I decided, hey, let's do a hotel.
Yeah.
And that first hotel, Tower 23, I've been blessed.
Cool place.
2004, we opened up.
Yeah.
We got delayed many, many times, but when we did open up, we had 4 years of incredible business.
Uh-huh.
So now we have 4 hotels and multiple restaurants and 1,000 employees.
But great, great design, that multicolored wall. Everyone goes in there. And
yeah, it's a really cool neat, that's a cool
the
wall.
The bar is always packed, and you can't ask for a better location, right on the waterfront.
Wonderful sunsets. So, that wave wall we did, there's very signature, but amazingly enough, the food's excellent as well.
Ah, Jordan.
Jordan, yeah.
Now, that's named after your son, or who's Jordan?
Well, my son tells me it's named after him. So my dad had an entrepreneurial spirit as well. He did a lot of development.
Uh-huh.
And he was always the guy I went to for advice. And when I did Tower 23, which was for me and for my father, it was a humongous project.
Uh-huh.
So I went to my dad and I said, hey, what do you think? Should I do it? And my dad handed me the baton that day, and he goes, you know what? This is going to be your project. And I can't answer that question because you're going to be working it. And you may be working it until you're dead. So he said, you got to make that decision on your own. Well, prior to that hotel opening up, my dad passed away. We named the restaurant Jordan after my father. Tower 23 was named after Lifeguard Tower 23.
Right.
It just so happened to be in front.
Yeah. Right.
And then...
there was the room where it was named after Michael Jordan. You heard that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh,
you know, it's a funny occurrence.
You could say he is a part owner, blah, blah, yeah, making a little mystique. But
it's not a bad thing for some people to
right,
think, but just one of those coincidences where everything came into play.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my son was born. And we named him after my dad. And so he walks into that restaurant, he thinks it's him.
Jordan's restaurant.
Of course, it's missing a vowel there, but exactly, making it a little chic.
Yeah. So, Brett, how'd you get hooked up here at Belmont Park? Just curious, the history behind that.
Yeah, well, we did a project in Bakersfield, California. And it was a hotel that had been built in 1928. And we bought it from a group of investors from San Diego. And we had never heard of them, nor did we know them. But when we bought it from them... We got to know those owners, and we actually became a little bit of friends. And when we reopened up that hotel, they all came down, and they were amazed what we had done to their project. We turned it into a complete success. And so we just kept our lines of communication. So we got a phone call from Pacific Enterprises, Daria and Robert, and they said, hey.
I was one of those investors, by the way.
Well, I did ask you guys to stay in, but you said, no, we've had enough.
No.
Yeah. But
silent partner speaks. So anyway.
But anyway, we looked at Belmont Park and we said you have an amazing asset here, and we think that with the right team and the right concepts, it could do very, very well.
Well, this place is going bust and bankrupt.
Oh, let me be honest. This thing was a disaster four or five years ago. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Well, it went into bankruptcy when? Like in 2009.
But, I mean, there was disjointed ownership, different people owning different pieces, no leadership. I mean,
we definitely had to tighten the vision and make sure that we were executing. And not just us, but everyone else in the park. We had to say, we are going to be an amusement park, and we're not going to be a retail center, and we're going to be hospitality. And we're going to bring people. You know, our goal is to make Belmont Park one of the top tourist attractions of all San Diego.
Well, it is because let's talk about draft for a second. I mean, so many concepts have failed there. I was there when it was Belmont's and Paul
a long time ago.
And that failed. And then it was Chiller's, and that failed. And the Canes failed. And, of course, everyone remembers the Red Onion disaster.
Well, let me just interject in that. You know, Red Onion had a 10-year run where they were the number one. So
they were great.
It failed because they lost focus, but for 10 years they made a boatload of money.
And the lawsuit. No, they were successful, but, I mean, ultimately.
But Joe and I came by to drafts during the summer. And we couldn't get a parking spot, but, I mean, this place was packed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, I think the genius, and I've got to find this out from Brett, because you guys, Belmont and all those spots before had walled off the access to the ocean and the beach, which is the greatest asset. Somebody came up with the idea of putting these large portals and opening it up and putting the patio. Was that you or a consortium?
Oh, it was all me.
He just hurt his shoulder there, patting himself on the back.
I hope none of my teams was, but
And of course, you're coinciding with the boom of the craft beer industry. You guys have 70 some beers on tap there, which and probably more to come, and rotating and all the best beers in town.
Hey, we're not the first ones to say these craft beers are going to be great.
Yeah.
We looked at the market. And we said, you know, we can provide something that nobody else is, and we are. But the ocean, the boardwalk, and that the first thing we did was we made sure that we maximized every inch of the view that we could. And that I don't think that was something that was that was miraculous, but we were focused. We knew exactly what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And we took that from Tower 23. I mean, every day there's a beautiful sunset, we're busy. And if it's raining overcast, 40% off. It's slow. And so that's why we said on those days when you're busy, it's like – you've all seen the movie Cities of Angels.
Oh, yeah.
When everybody goes and they just look off, you know. Well, that's what we're doing. I mean, that's what happens in San Diego. You, if it's too hot in El Cajon, you drive to the beach.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get blessed to see that once in a while the green flash, and you get to see that beautiful sunset.
Have you ever seen it?
I've seen it twice.
I have never seen it. Have you ever seen it, Brett? I've never seen it.
I've seen it twice.
There's a real big correlation.
How many beers do you have to sample?
I got to tell you. I was just going to say, you know, Budweiser, Bud Light. If I drink enough and I stare long enough at that sun, I see the green flash almost every time.
You know, now, when you say those names, the craft brewers in town are going bananas because they're slaving over their formulas, and you're going with the major commercials.
Well,
but everyone has their favorites. So.
I do. You know, but hey, I still love the Stones. I still love the Carl Strauss's. Yeah. I love them all. I just happen
Well, I got to plug a little bit. I got to plug the Fat Cat Pilsner. I'm sorry, that's what I'm. And I'm not even a big beer drinker, but
I love to get an icy cold can of Fat Cat. Sit down.
Isn't that good stuff?
It is really good. And, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be anti-huge establishment, because I am a little, but I do love all those guys, and they're doing a great job. And, you know, when you go in the draft, you will see that we have forefronted all those craft beers. Mm-hmm. Now, and thank goodness for they are a big part of San Diego's economy. We're known as Craft Beer USA.
Yeah, we're like the center of that universe. So, Brad, how many meals a day were you serving there at Ballin
Park? I was going to get into the food, you know, between the Wave House and draft. Yeah. So where did you you reformulated the menu and upgraded and everything, and
we have a chef who's been with us for about about 6-7 years, Brad Weiss. Uh-huh. We allowed Brad to come in and really put together a menu that's really accommodating to craft, and he not only is our beer craft, but the food is craft. He's really put some amazing flares on things, and when you come in, we're hitting the service, we're hitting the views, and the food is fantastic.
But Jesse, I was going to say, and why are we serving X amount of meals a day here? And then he was going to say that part. So tell us, how many meals a day?
It's a few thousand.
Roughly.
Right? Come on.
Yeah, we have days where park-wide, we're serving well over 5,000
That's
people.
Incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Isn't that great?
I mean, to see the, you know, we built the kitchen, and we didn't build the Yugo of kitchens. We built a Ferrari. I mean, when it is rolling, it's rolling, and the food is flying out. It's hot. It tastes wonderful, and Brad's making sure that every dish that goes out is the best he can make.
And the next big thing is Cannonball on top of draft, which should be opening when?
I'm knock on wood, we're going to open in about 6 weeks. We're gonna open right at the beginning of the winter time. So what we're trying to do there is really do nothing but private events, and they will be spectacular. We opened up last July and we ran for 5 months. We did wonderfully, but we had an issue with no handicap accessibility.
Yeah.
So we had to put this elevator in. But we don't do just any kind of elevator. We wanted something amazing. Uh-huh. And it is going to be a little beacon on the beach, all glass, crystal clear, beautiful LED, red, pink, yellow, green.
Maybe
lights.
turn it into rise. Shoot you up 5 stories and down again and whatever.
It shoots you up 30 feet. Yeah. You know? It's really something different. And when you want to do something a little bit different, it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of manpower, a lot of brain power.
Brett, what size event is Cannonball going to be able to accommodate?
Cannonball hold up to 500
up
people.
Up to 500, okay. Yeah. That's a big crowd.
Yeah.
So it'll never be open as a regular restaurant?
We're going to open up in February to the general public.
Oh, okay.
But right now, you know, we have about another 6 weeks.
Gotcha.
And then we'll open up for the wintertime to do nothing but holiday parties and events.
Uh-huh.
And then once we hit, we'll open up for good Valentine's Day and then ride the summer.
I got to ask you about the TV. I got to call Diamond Vision and Draft. I mean, this has got to be the biggest indoor TV viewing apparatus.
How big is that TV?
That TV is 12 foot by 31 foot.
Yeah, 12 by 31.
I thought it was 50 feet, but I'll believe whatever number you told. It is spectacular. I know for World Cup, you had lined the place wasn't even open. You had lines out the door, like a couple hundred people waiting to get in.
You know, World Cup turned out to be a huge boom for us. We thought we'd be good, but at 9 o'clock in the morning when USA was playing, there's 300 people in line to get in
to watch soccer.
To watch soccer, right? Yeah, I'm a big soccer fan, but we were blown away.
I was watching. Yeah. I'm just being funny.
Yeah,
that was pretty spectacular. Well, a little history here. I got a little trivia for you, Brett.
All
because
right.
What year was Belmont Park built? And do you know who built it?
1925.
There
you
go.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who was the key figure?
Spreckles.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you
go. Back.
So that's the same year the Dipper was built, right?
That's
so
right.
So, Joe, you know how the Spreckles family made their money?
Sugar, right?
Right. The beets. Extracting sugar from beets. They have a big processing plant up in Spreckles, California, which is near Salinas.
Well, one other interesting thing, Bill Evans, who senior, who owned the hotels, he owned this park at one point.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's some history I didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Evans are a huge success story of San Diego. Wonderful hotel.
Yeah.
Great. I got married at Torrey Pines.
Oh, really?
I was one of the first weddings there for the new one.
When the lodge opened, you mean the new one? Oh, really? Because they did a great job there. That's
But, Brett, I know there's tons of stuff still going on here in terms of construction. When is this thing going to be finished?
Well, we're going to open up Cannonball is next on the list.
Right.
And then from Cannonball, We have we're doing a complete makeover of the overall park, all okay. the parking lots. We're doing all the new landscaping, new lighting. We're partnering with the roller coaster company, so we got a huge LED light show that's going to start going on here.
Yep. Now, the coaster, did you know it is on the National, it's a National Historic Landmark. A lot of people didn't know that either, but it is. Did you know that?
I did know that, Joe.
Okay. I got to catch you on one of these. Yeah. All right. Did anyone ever die on the roller coaster?
Well,
the answer is?
I'm going to say no.
Yes, one fatality.
It was a long, long time ago.
It was like 1926.
Well, I'm going to kick you right now because I would normally not bring that up.
I know that. 1926 was a long time ago.
Yeah, some kid who actually was going to get married, whatever. He tried crawling from one car to the next one.
But anyway, Joe, we get to see the coaster going right by here through this big view window in the Wave House Terrace.
Yeah. Top speed on the coaster, anybody? You don't guess, Richard.
Okay,
you
know. I won't guess.
26 miles an hour.
55.
Yeah, that's the old California speed limit, Joe, 55. What'd Sammy Hager say? I can't drive 55.
That's right. So now, Pacific, you guys are going to buy the coaster, is that it, or is there an operator?
We're working on a deal to buy the other side of the park, the coaster. On my side, we're assuming it's going to happen. Uh-huh. We got big plans for that side, and their management team they have a wonderful management team there. Wendy Crane runs the roller coasters for us, and she does great, so we're looking forward to expanding that partnership with her.
So what are some of the upgrades coming online? You think like would it be new pavement, new like granite, this, that, or?
Yeah, I mean, the park has had a lot of
delayed maintenance.
Yeah, and we've cut up this concrete about 15 times, so we plan to take it all out I'm sorry about that. My mother wanted to know where the restroom was.
Exactly. This is live radio.
This
folks.
Is live radio, getting, and yeah, the restroom yeah, is down
yeah,
to the left.
Yeah.
But anyway, you were saying.
So anyway, what our plan is to go through all the lighting of the park, go through all the hardscapes, the what you walk on, and get it all brought up to 2015. We're going to Orlando in November, and the biggest amusement show, you know, trade show right. is there. So all the major manufacturers come in, and we're going there with a checkbook, and we're going to look for fun and exciting things
wow.
that we can buy to bring to Belmont Park.
Wow.
Well, Joe and I, when we came upstairs, we noticed you just put a zip line in.
Oh, yeah. That was
that looks fun.
Yeah, we partnered up with James Austin from Boardwalk Amusements, and he said, hey, we need a zip line because there's only one in San Diego, and that's at the Wild Animal Park.
We weren't using that airspace. So.
Right.
And you put the climbing wall in, which I think is cool.
My kids are out here every weekend. They're climbing that thing up as fast as they can.
It's Jordan's climbing wall.
Yeah.
All right, so here's something else. You may remember this, but actually the station, the FM side of our station, when it was Star 100, did a couple
sure.
contests in the roller coaster. Remember those?
I do remember those. Yeah.
Remember what it was called?
The Roll-a-thon?
Whirl till you hurl.
Whirl till you hurl.
Whirl till you hurl.
So,
I like it.
So in 1997, they staged a marathon ride, and after 11 days of riding, they rode for more than 12 hours a day. Three winners received a new car. Okay. Anyway, I guess we do have to wrap it up.
We've got to wrap it up. Brett, really appreciate it. You guys are doing amazing work.
Thank you. We'll be back again. So anyway, I'd like to thank Mike Hansen, who's been working with us tonight and doing the technical and back in the studio. Dan Noon, I assume, right? And then Craig Blanke, our account executive. And we are out of here, folks. We'll see you next week.
We're having our picture taken right now.
Have a good one. See you next week on iWentMoney.com. Bye.